Hare Krishna. So we'll begin canto 3rd today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudire nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Dasme Shri Guruve Namaha. So, chapter 1 will begin. Just a brief summary of third canto as given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. See, first four chapters is conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. Then next eight chapters, 5 to 12, is Sarga and Visarga. Next seven chapters, pastimes of Varahadev, 13 to 19. 20th chapter, again Visarga in summary. Next four chapters describes about Lord Kapiladev. That is 21 to 24. Then the next nine chapters describes his teachings, Lord Kapila's teachings. Right. So in this way, total how many chapters? 33 chapters. Okay. First four conversation between Vidura and Uddhava. Next eight chapters Sarga and Visarga. Next seven chapters pastime of Varahadev. One chapter is Visarga in summary. Next four chapters about Lord Kapila and next nine chapters about his teachings. That makes 33 chapters of third canto. Text 1. Shishuka uvacha evam etat pura prishto Maitreyo Bhagavan Kila Kshatravanam Pravishtena Tyaktvaso Graham Riddhimat.
Sukhdeva Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of his grace Maitreya Rishi.
So, Sukhdeva Goswami is speaking. So, Sukhdeva Goswami already answered two or three questions. Number of questions asked in 8th chapter, 2.8. So, after asking some, Sukhdeva Goswami wants to refer to Maitreya Vidura Samvad to answer further questions. Although it looks like the Shaunakadri Rishi are very eager to know that, but actually that is also the inquiry of Parikshit Maharaj. So in this way, so it is Sukhdeva Goswami who wants to refer to Maitreya Vidura Samvad to answer further questions. Okay, so therefore here Sukhdeva Goswami is speaking. Because as Shaunaka Rishi Adi asked the question, Sudha Goswami said, yes, Sukhdev Goswami himself spoke about Maitreya Vidura. Right? Like that. Text 2.
Yadvayam mantra kridvo Bhagavan Akhileshwara Pauravindra Graham Hitva Pravisheshatma Satkritam.
What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Shri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house.
So, if you see, what does Sukadeva Goswami say in the text 1? He says, Vidura renounced his house, entered the forest and asked the questions to Maitreya Rishi. Right? What is the text 2 he says? What else is there to say about the residential house of Pandavas? The Lord considered that house to be his own. He used to go so frequently. Right? He would not go to house of Duryodhan. What is the link between the two? Do you see any connection between the two? What Sukadeva Goswami is saying? So basically, if you see, now Sukadeva Goswami, before describing, now suddenly he says he left his home and asked the question to Maitreya Rishi. What led to his leaving his home? Nothing has been described as yet. So he makes this statement, this text 2, Krishna used to frequently come to the house of Pandavas, to the house of Vidura, never went to the house of Duryodhana. This, by this statement, Sukadeva Goswami wants to invite inquiry from Maharaj Parikshit. See, often Sukadeva Goswami makes a statement where he provokes or he wants that Maharaj Parikshit should ask a question. Right? So therefore he makes this statement. He goes a little behind and talks about Hastinapur, how the place which Vidura left, that place Krishna used to visit so frequently. Right? So he makes this statement. So immediately, Rajovacha, right, on this statement. So this statement invites the question from Maharaj Parikshit. Right? So as Gaurang Darshan Prabhu pointed out in one of his class, how the whole Bhagavatam has been transcendentally orchestrated. Right? Vyasadeva already wrote it, but now it has been put in the form of question answer. Right? So look like Shaunagada Rishi are asking, but same is asked by Maharaj Parikshit. And Sukadeva Goswami has to narrate it. So he invites a question. So the whole thing has been transcendently set forth. Right? Like that. Okay, so Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport to the text 2. Prabhupada says, according to the Gaudiya Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord Krishna is also Krishna. Anything that satisfies the senses of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is also Shri Krishna. A very amazing statement. For example, Shri Vrindavan Dham is non-different from Krishna. Tad Dham Vrindavanam. Because at Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. Similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. Thus, the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan. Right? So, the house of Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan. Therefore, Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. So therefore, the question will come, Sukadeva Goswami described that place where Pandava was staying, Hastinapur, and the Vidura was staying, that place was Vrindavan. So he's highlighting this position that Hastinapur was not different from Vrindavan because Krishna was frequently staying. So immediately, then why would he leave? That question should come immediately. So he is inviting the question in that way. So Prabhupada therefore points out, the house of the Pandava was as good as Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada also describes the reason for his quitting the house. Therefore, the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. Again, Vishwanath Thakur also said, he says, Vidura should not have given up his house, which was superior to all the places of pilgrimage that he had traveled to. Said, hey, he left to travel to places of pilgrimage. That place was superior to all places of pilgrimage. Krishna was frequently visiting. Why did he leave then? He left on the pretext of family misunderstanding. That was just a pretext. But why did he? What for? What purpose did he leave? For what purpose did he leave? For? Okay. Sorry. For? Discuss transcendental pastimes. Okay. Actually, this is a very important point over herein. He left Vrindavan, that place of Vrindavan, Prabhupada is saying, the place he left, to other holy places. He left Vrindavan to realize Vrindavan because the place where he was staying, Hastinapur, got affected with politics, diplomacy, and criticism. And therefore, he left that place to meet Maitreya Rishi in order to hear and chant about Krishna and to realize Vrindavan in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, the point is, Vrindavan is realized in a most tangible way in a place where there is always hearing, chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees. Even if the external Vrindavan becomes the impediment in hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, there may be impediment in the realization of Krishna. One should see, Vrindavan is a place where there is always glorification of Krishna. Right? So if the physical some place, even the temple, the deity of the Lord is there, that is Vrindavan. But if that place becomes affected by politics, diplomacy, criticism of Vaishnavas, that place becomes unfavorable for realization of that Vrindavan. Therefore, one should go to a place where the spirit of Vrindavan is present, which is hearing and chanting of about Krishna in the association of devotees without any duplicity, criticism, backbiting. Right? That place, the Vrindavan will be realized in a most tangible way. Right? So therefore, herein Vidurji leaves Hastinapur, which was also non-different from Vrindavan, but it got Vrindavan realization would be difficult in such a place then. God, because the negative things appeared. Yes. Yes. So Prabhupada says herein, I'll read the next line. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization. There have been always some disturbances, and Vidura could overcome such disturbances. But now, when Duryodhana directly attacked him, right, he took that opportunity and took a step for higher realization, Prabhupada says. Right? So he had that Vrindavan consciousness. But then the circumstances appeared so that he took advantage of that. On the pretext, he he took an advantage for a higher realization. So the higher realization is hearing and chanting and discussion about Krishna. Where that can be achieved, that is the higher realization of Vrindavan. Right? So at this particular point of time, he took up that step. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so there are so many such cases where I think Prabhupada also left the home for higher realization. Right? Although at home Prabhupada was able to worship, but he saw when, you know, Prabhupada's wife was at some point of time became very uncooperative, then Prabhupada left home for higher realization. Right? So in this way, that is, therefore Vidura took advantage of family misunderstanding. Right? He took advantage of family misunderstanding. Therefore, he can't be accused of leaving Vrindavan because he left that Vrindavan for a higher realization of Vrindavan. Right? So highest realization of Vrindavan is in hearing, chanting and discussing about Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Because Vidura's place was unfavorable, he could have gone to Dwarika or Pandava's place.
Yes, that is also described. We'll discuss that. Text 3. Rajo Uvacha Kutra Kshatura Bhagavata Maitreyanasha Sangama Kadavasaha Samvada Etad Varnayana Prabho.
Where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige my Lord and describe this to us.
Okay, so how come he left and how did he meet Maitreya, right? Suddenly ask the questions. Before that, Maharaj Parikshit wants to know the background of it, right? And Sukadeva Goswami wants to describe the background of it. So he said something in two, right? So both he wants to hear, he wants to describe. So before Maitreya Vidur Samvad can be described, the background or setting the scene will be described in the four chapters. Setting the scene for Maitreya Vidur conversation is first four chapters. Okay, which is up to the point where Vidura meets Uddhava. Right? So what is said in 3.1.1, right, will be said in, will continue from 3.5.1. Right? So four chapters, they have to set the scene there. What it is, how did it happen, first of all. Okay, so Parikshit Maharaj continues. Nahi alpartha deyostasya vidurasya malatmana tasmin variyasi prashna sadhu vadopa brahmita.
Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level and approved by learned circles.
So Maharaj Parikshit is praising that whatever Vidur must have inquired must be greatly meaningful. Right? Nahi alp arthodayas tasya. It cannot be insignificant question. Alp arth means small meaning. That means the question must be greatly meaningful. Vidurasya amalatmana, the question of Vidur, who was a great saintly person. Tasmin variyasi prashna. And Prabhupada says his question must be very purposeful. Sadhu vadop brahmita, which were approved by the saints. So Parikshit Maharaj is praising the question of Vidurji. This verse is very similar, almost exactly similar to what Shukdev Goswami praised the question of Parikshit Maharaj. Right? So first line says, Parikshit Maharaj says, Vidura's question must be greatly meaningful. Then third line, Vidura's question must be greatly purposeful. Then it must be approved by the authorities. What is the difference between meaningful and purposeful? Vidura's question must be greatly meaningful. Great meaning. Nahi alpartha means a great meaning, not a small meaning. Greatly meaningful means it aims at spiritual realization. Tasmin variyasi prashna, greatly purposeful. Purposeful means it's for the benefit of all. It's a great purpose, not just for his own self is asking. First of all, they're very meaningful because it aims at spiritual realization. Then purposeful because it is meant for everyone's benefit. It is for a much greater purpose. Then sadhu vada upabrahmita. Such questions are approved by great authorities, sages, saints. So same thing when Shukadeva Goswami says, varyaneshate prashna. Krito lok hritam rita. Varyaneshate prashna means great meaning. Krito lok hritam rita, for everyone's benefit. Atmavitta samta pumsam sadhu vada upabrahmita. Right? So very in the same three qualities of Vidurji's question is also true for Maharaj Parikshit. Purpose it's spiritual. For everyone's benefit. First is they are very meaningful. Second is they are very purposeful. It serves a greater purpose, not just his own purpose. It is for everyone's benefit. His questions, yeah, his questions will benefit everyone. Right? He's not asking, you know, raat ko jaldi nahi soya jata hai, thoda late ho jata hai, kya kare, you know, kind. So, no, it's for everyone's benefit. The answers will benefit, you know, everyone. Okay, so, Prabhupada glorifies question and answers. Actually, there is another nice point. First of all, I just read something on the purport. Question and answers among different classes of men had different value, Prabhupada says. Not all question and answer of the same value. Right? Prabhupada says, questions by mercantile men. Right? Market, upar teji hai, mandi hai. You know, so many people ask so many questions. It has no spiritual value, Prabhupada says. So if you read beautifully Prabhupada describes, and then Prabhupada says the question, Bhagavad Gita was a question and answer between Krishna and Arjuna. It was of great value. Right? And then Prabhupada describes the value of the question and answer between Krishna and Arjuna. It values light because it was based upon the discussion of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti was the central and not karma, Prabhupada points out. The question answer is very available because it was centered around bhakti. And this is where Prabhupada describes the difference between karma and karma yoga also. That in karma yoga there is an element of bhakti. Right? That adds a value to the discussion like that. There are so many questions and answers, right? Even Sut Goswami praised the questions of what, by how the sages. Like this is the third praise we are getting, at least, you know, as far as my remembrance goes. First, Sut Goswami praised the questions of Shaunakadi Rishi by saying, Munaya Sadhu Prishtoham Bhavadbhir Loka Mangalam Yat Krita Krishna Samprashno Yenatma Suprasidati. Right? A very similar glorification. Then, secondly, Maharaj Parikshit praised the question. Then Maharaj Parikshit's question was praised by Sukadev Goswami. Right? So then now Maharaj Parikshit is praising the question of Vidura in this verse. Right? So this is a beautiful verse. Nahi alp artho dayastasya vidurasya malatmana tasmin variyasi prashna sadhu vadopa brahmita. Right? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked question to Ramananda Rai, he replied. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami asked question to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He replied. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, even to ask such questions, one requires empowerment by the Lord. Even to ask a question of this caliber, which were asked by Vidura, asked by Maharaj Parikshit, asked by Shaunakadi Rishi, one requires empowerment by the Lord. Iha Prabhu Shakti Prashna Kare Sanatan Apane Mahaprabhu Kare Tattva Nirupan. Said Sanatana Goswami, you could ask such questions by the empowerment of the Lord. So that verse is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So even the questions are very glorious, therefore Variya Neshate Prashna. They are empowered questions. Right? Lord Shakti is manifesting even in the questions. Text 5.
Suta uvacha sa evam rishi varyoyam prishto ragya parikshita pratyahatam subahuvit pritatma shruyatamiti.
Sri Suta Goswami said, the great sage Shukdev Goswami was highly experienced and was pleased with the king. Thus, being questioned by the king, he said to him, please hear the topics attentively.
Okay, so Pritatma Shruyatamiti. So, okay, sometimes such addresses are used, you know, Maharaj Shukdev Goswami mein se, or Sut Goswami or Narad Muni mein se, please hear attentively, right? Although the listener is anyway hearing attentively, right? But they say now, you know, even become a little more attentive, right? Even if you have felt, you know, little less sleep in between, fine, you know, other, but this time, you know, you'll be more attentive. There's something very important coming. So something like that, you know. To draw the attention even closer, right? Beech mein thoda sa nap, you know, took a nap in between. That's all right now. Now become attentive, kind of. What's the word of attentiveness? No, basically saying shruyatam, hear. Hear means now to draw further attention. Now hear. Or he's already hearing. He's still, see, Maharaj Parikshit is just hearing only, but like something to either to say something now very interesting is coming, you know, something that we hear, like even the ordinary conversation, when we want to draw or when we want to say something very interesting took place, although the person is hearing, we may again say, please hear it carefully. Please hear carefully. So when the subject matter is interesting, then another, you can again say, please hear attentively, although person may be hearing. So his interest level will further increase, kind of. Right? This kind of word comes, often you will notice, you know, the speaker saying, hear it. Okay. Text 6.
Shishuka uvacha. यदा तु राजा ससुतान साधुन पुष्णन नधर्मेण विनष्ट दृष्टि भ्रातुर यविष्ठस्य सुतान विबंधुन प्रवेश्य लाक्षा भवने ददाह.
श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, King Dhritarashtra became blind under the influence of impious desires to nourish his dishonest son, and thus he set fire to the lacquer house to burn his fatherless nephews, the Pandavas.
Okay, so 6 to 16, 11 verses describes what led to Vidura leaving Hastinapur. Yada tu raja so sutan asadhun pushnan So the here in King Dhritarashtra has been, his two-fold blindness has been described. Vinasht drishti. He had no external vision and he has no internal vision also, or no material vision and no spiritual vision. Vinasht drishti. What is the symptom of Vinasht drishti? He wants to nourish his evil sons, Asadhun Pushnan. If you see, So Sutan, his sons who are Asadhun, who are evil, Pushnan, he wants to nourish them. And he wants to destroy the saintly Pandavas. Bhratur Vishtasya Sutan Dadaha. Dadaha means he wants to destroy. So look at this twofold blindness. Externally, he cannot see anyway. And what is his intention? Want to nourish his evil sons and destroy the saintly Pandavas. Right? So Prabhupada says, someone can read the purport, the 5-6 lines.
Dhritarashtra was blind from birth, but his blindness is committing impious activity to support his dishonest sons was a greater blindness than his physical lack of eyesight. The physical lack of eyes of sight does not bar one from spiritual progress. But when one is blind spiritually, even though physically fit, that blindness is dangerously detrimental to the progressive path of human life.
Okay, so Prabhupada says actually external blindness is no bar, right, for spiritual progress. But when one is blind spiritually, right, there are devotees who chose to remain blind externally, but they had spiritual vision intact, right? Bill Mangal Thakur, we know, right? Even Kuresh, there is a story, Sri Vaishnav Kuresh, he chose to remain blind externally, right? Although he could have restored his vision by the, he could ask that benediction from Lord Varadra, there is a beautiful story, but he chose to remain blind externally, right? So therefore, Dhritarashtra was like ordinary materialistic people are. Materially, they have eyesight, but spiritually they are blind. Right? Dhritarashtra was both materially and spiritually blind. And great souls that we discuss like Bilu Mangal Thakur, they were externally blind, but internally they had full spiritual vision. Right? So Pashyan Api Na Pashyati, that is for ordinary people. For Dhritarashtra, apashyan api na pashyati, in one sense. You cannot see externally as well as internally. But there were great souls, like Bil Mangal Thakur, they were apashyan api pashyati. Now you have to remove. Although they could not see externally, but they had complete spiritual vision, in one sense. So you can make the contrast between, right? Text 7.
यदा सभायां कुरु देव देव्या केशाभिमर्षं सुतकर्मगर्यम् नावारयामाश निपाश्नुषाया स्वाश्रैर्हरन्त्या कुचुकुङ्कमानि.
The king did not forbid his son Dushasan's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of the godly king Yudhishthir, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast.
So Dhritarashtra's his spiritual blindness is further described. Right? First of all, he was nourishing his evil sons and plotting to kill the saintly Pandavas. Then he did not forbid his son Dushasan while he was insulting Draupadi and described that her tears washed away the kumkum of her breast. And Vishnu Thakur says, it washed away the kumkum from the breast of all the Kaurava's wives. And they will all will actually become widows now, soon. describes that. Texted.
Dyute tu dharme najitasya sadho. Sattva satya valambasya vanam gatasya. Nayajato dat samaye nadayam. Tamo jushano yada jata shatro.
Yudhishthira, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in the gambling. But because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by his illusion.
Okay, so again, very beautiful contrast here between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Dyute tu adharmena jitasya sadho. Taking shelter of untruth, adharma, the Kurus defeated Maharaj Yudhishthira. Right? However, Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, taking shelter of truth, they went to the forest. So taking shelter of untruth, the Kauravas defeated Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas. But they took shelter of truth and went to the forest. When they returned, Nayachato Dat Samayen, after they completed their prescribed time, when they came, Nayachato Dat Samayen Dayam, they were not given their share. Right? Rather, Duryodhana became very envious. Right? Tamo jushano yad ajata shatru. Duryodhana started, he became greatly envious of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who actually has no enemy. Ajata shatru. Right? So someone can ask that, how did Dhritarashtra and his sons have such enmity toward Maharaj Yudhishthira, who has no enemies, he is Ajatashatru? What is the answer? Tamo Jushana. Out of great ignorance, right? Out of the great ignorance of their own self, right? They cultivated enmity towards Maharaj Yudhishthira, who has no enemies. So one important point is that even though there may be people who may take shelter of a dharma and try to deprive the devotees of the facilities, devotees still take shelter of dharma, right? But not true for the Lord. It's not that the Lord. So the Lord sees that his devotees are given the rightful. The devotees do not fight for their cause. But the Lord is very eager to see, right? So it is the Lord who, at times, he forced the Pandavas to break the so-called dharma, because the highest dharma is to follow his will, right? The devotees, even those who take shelter of dharma, devotees still continue to take shelter of dharma. The devotees still continue to be righteous. But the Lord doesn't follow the ordinary principle of righteousness, right? He acts for as per his affection for the devotees. Like that. Text 9.
Yada cha partha prahita sabayam. Jagat gurur yani jagad krishna. Natani pumsam amritayanani. Rajo Rumene Kshat Punnelesha.
Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world. And although his words were heard by some like Bhishma as a pure nectar, it was not so for the others who were completely bereft of the last farthing of pious works. The king Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously.
Okay, so that was the last incident. He said that being obliged by the love of Partha, right, the sons of Pritha, King Krishna himself went with the message, which was like nectar for Bhishma, but not so, or it was like a poison or very bitter for Dhritarashtra and sons, right? And because they neglected Krishna's advice, Rajoru Mene Shat Punya Lesha, they lost the last trace of piety. So by piety they had gained the kingdom. Prabhupada also describes in the purport. But by this act, right, they lost the last trace of piety, indicating that their ruination is imminent. Okay. So we see Prabhupada in the 6th or 7th last line says, by past pious deeds one may become the king of the country, but because the result of the pious acts of Duryodhana and company were dwindling, it became evident from their action that they were sure to lose the kingdom to the Pandavas. Text 10. Yadopahuto bhavanam pravishto mantraya prishta kila purvajena patahatan mantra disham variyan yanmantino vedurikam vadanti.
When Vidura was invited by his elder brother Dhritarashtra for consultation, he entered the house and gave instructions which were exactly to the point. His advice is well known, and instructions by Vidura are approved by expert ministers of the state.
Okay, so Vidura was the advisor. He said his advice, his advice is recognized by great personalities, so much so that it is own brand, Vaidurikam. The advice of Vidur Niti is like one of the brand in the, just like we say Chanakya Niti, similarly Vidur Niti is one of the, you know, brands actually. Those who know the Niti Shastra, they call Vidurji's advice as Vaidurikam, expert advisor, right? So he was a great advisor actually, right? He had the Dhritarashtra had a very excellent advisor with him, right? But he didn't took advantage of that advice, right? He didn't took advantage of that advice. So it happens, you know, in this world, so many other people later took advantage of Vidur Niti and advice, you know, so many other kings. So it happens often, you know, those who are contemporary or those whom the advice is immediately given, they fail to take advantage. People in the future take advantage. Right? Huh? Saying, Ghar ki murki dal barabar, he's saying. Indian saying, yeah. Anyway, so like that. So it was unfortunate for Dhritarashtra not to take advantage of such an excellent advisor, right? Of whose advice would be taken advantage in the future by so many politicians and diplomats, and right? Another thing is, if you see Vidurji, who was directly giving advice to Dhritarashtra, his concern was he wanted to protect the king Dhritarashtra, right? He was not taking the advice seriously, but nevertheless Vidurji spoke. Right? So one important again lesson comes is that even if sometimes a person is speaking the truth to somebody, that person may not take the advantage. But still one should speak the truth, knowing that someone down the line, someone may take advantage. So one should not be disheartened. Right? You may be sitting and speaking somebody, and that person may not be in a mood of hearing, etc. Some person on the side may hear. He may take advantage. Right? Some person, he may speak something to some other person. The other person may be affected like that. You never know. So therefore, one should speak the truth. Even if the immediate recipient is not accepting it, still one should speak. Right? So Vidurji doesn't desist from speaking the right thing. Knowing that, one should know that people, someone somewhere down the line will be benefited by speaking the truth. So it is also, if you see the case with Prabhupada, so many times Prabhupada, some new people, hippies would come and Prabhupada would speak the truth, and some of the disciples say, they would be praying, Prabhupada may not speak about, you know, illicit sex and so many things, you know, knowing that the immediate audience will be put off, right? They will go away, they will not be kind of, you know, they will not appreciate or something. Prabhupada would speak the truth. Most of the time the immediate audience would not be the beneficiaries, they would not be able to take the benefit. But there will be so many other people who are sitting, or so many other people who would hear remotely, they would be benefited. Right? So therefore, one should speak the truth in that way. Of course, one should speak the truth with sensitivity also. In Kali Yuga, Prabhupada at one place says, sometime first we have to flatter people. Prabhupada says, quoting on the verse, that verse of Prabhupada Thakur is there. Dante nidhaya tena kampadayo nipatya. He says that I take straw between my teeth. He sadho sakalame vihaya. Prabhupada says in that verse, that is the verse by Prabhupada Sarasi, where he says, he sadho, oh Prabhupada says, oh greatly learned person, you are a PhD and you have done so many research and everything. Please keep all the theses on one side. You know, So one has to sometimes flatter that you're a great personality, etc., to make him open to listen. And then Prabhupada says, please keep all the nonsense aside and listen what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. So like that, you know. So basically, sometime one may have to flatter a person a little bit in order to make him open to accept the instruction of the Lord. Prabhupada says that is also preaching. So there is a sensitivity in speaking the truth. But ultimately one has to present the truth. Right? One has to present the truth. One cannot be hiding the truth. Even if the immediate person hearing the truth may not be immediately benefited. Eventually he may also be benefited, but before that, so many other people may be benefited. Right? Text 11.
Ajata Shatro Pratiyachadayam. Tetikshito durvisaham tavaga. Sahanujo yatra vrikodarahi. Shasan rushayatamalam bibeshi.
Vidura said, you must now return the legitimate share to Yudhishthira, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold sufferings due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him.
Right, so he's saying, look, Maharaj Yudhishthira, Ajatashatru, he has been tolerating till now. Tikshato durvisaham tavaga. He has been very tolerant. But then he's saying, surely Bhima is not going to tolerate life anymore. You must be afraid of him at least. You know, you can't be going on thinking that Maharaj Yudhishthira will go on tolerating. Bhima is no longer going to tolerate. And surely you must be afraid of him. Like that. Text 12. Partham Sudevo Bhagavan Mukundo. Gahitavan Sakshiti Deva Deva. Aste Sapuryam Yadudeva Devo. Vinirjita Sheshnara Deva Deva.
Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Pritha as his kinsmen. And all the kings of the world are with Lord Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and princes of the Yadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their lord.
Okay, so this is a very beautiful verse, a very poetic verse also. Herein Krishna has been described as Shiti Deva Deva, Yadu Deva Deva, and Nara Deva Deva. Kshiti Dev are the Brahmanas and the demigods, right? And Krishna is there. Kshiti Dev means the lord of this earth. The Brahmanas are considered and the demigods. And Krishna is their worshipable lord. Yadu Dev, those who are Yadu emperors, right? The rulers among the Yadus. Krishna is their ruler. And Naradev Deva, those were earthly kings, all the other earthly kings, powerful. Krishna is the king of all such earthly kings. Right? So Krishna is Kshiti Deva Deva, Yadu Deva Deva, Naradeva Deva. For him, Parthams to Devo. For that Krishna, Pandavas are his Deva. Parthams to Devo. Krishna has accepted sons of Pritha, the Parthas. Partha would also refer to in general all the sons of Pritha. Krishna has accepted them as his worshipable because he would act in so many ways for them, right? So Vidurji wants to say, look, Krishna is with them, that means all the demigods and the powerful Brahmanas are on their side. All the great Yadu warriors, Yadu Deva Devu, are on their side. All the powerful earthly kings are on their side. Do you want alliance or enmity with them? Are you sure? What do you want with them? Just see their power. Right? So in this way, Vidurji is telling, look, the whole power is on their side. Being Krishna on their side. Krishna is accepting Partha as their Devas. Who is these three things are described? We go to text 13. Sa esha dosha purusha dudaste. Grihan pravishto yama patya matya. Pushnashi Krishna dvimukho gata shris. Tejashu Shaivam Kula Kaushalaya.
You are maintaining offense personified Duryodhana as your infallible son. But he is envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family.
Okay, so in the last verse you said, surely you don't want enmity with them, right? Krishna is with them, all the sages, demigods with them, Yadu warriors with them, great earthly kings with them. Surely you don't want enmity with them, right? So then he said, but what can I do? My son Duryodhana will not agree to have alliance with the Pandavas, right? So therefore in this verse, Vidurji is saying, Sa esha dosha purusho dudaste grihan parvishto yama patya matya. He's saying, whom you are considering your son apatya matya, right? My son will not agree. He is offense personified, right? Being envious of Krishna, you are not whom you are considering to be your son, apatya matya. And Prabhupada says apatya means a son who prevents the father from falling down to hell. Apatya, right? Jo pita ko patan hone se bacha usko apatya. Saying you are only considering him to be your son, but actually he is your enemy. Right? He said that there are four kind of sons. Right? One is the Shatru Putra. Enemy sometimes turns in the form of son to take revenge from previous life. Second kind of son is Rinanubandhi, means somebody whom you owe a lot of money. He comes to take away the money. You know, the son comes and he squanders away all the money of the father. He simply comes to take all the money, which in previous life, you know, this person owes a lot of money, didn't give the debt back. Right? So that person comes in the form of son to squander away all the money of the father. Third kind of son is Udasin, neutral putra. He's unconcerned with anything in the family, right? Doesn't do anything. And the fourth kind of son is known as Apatya or Seva Putra. Or Apatya means the person who prevents the father from falling down by serving. Right? He serves the father by offering the pinda, offering the oblations of Vishnu Prasad to the forefathers and prevents. Right? So there are four kind of sons in this way describes. So he's saying, look, whom you are thinking to be your very good son, Apatya, is actually your enemy. He's your enemy which has come. He is Purusha Dudaste, he is envious of Krishna. Right? So Prabhupada describes that a son will prevent a father from falling down by offering Vishnu Prasad to the forefathers, to his deceased father. Right? He will worship Vishnu and prevent the father from falling down. He has picked up enmity with Vishnu. What will happen to you? Just think, right? What kind of son is he? He is your enemy who has come at your son. Right? So therefore, what does he say? Tejashu, give up such an envious son of yours. He is your enemy. Give him up. To that, Dhritarashtra says, but if I give up my son, it will be like a black spot on my family. It will not be proper. He is saying, then Vidurji says, first he says, Tejashu, give him up. He's saying, but it will be a black spot, Dhritarashtra says. He's saying, Oshavam Kula Kaushalaya. No, nothing inauspiciousness. It will not be inauspicious. Rather, it will be Kula Kaushalaya. Giving up such a son will be for the benefit of the Kula. So the Niti says, Tejet Ekam Kulasya Arthe. Mahabharata describes Tejet Ekam. For the Kula, one person can be sacrificed. For the family, for the welfare of the entire family, one person should be sacrificed. Gramasya Arthe Kulam Tejet. For the sake of the whole village, one family may be sacrificed. Gramam Janpadasya Arthe. For the sake of the kingdom, one village can be sacrificed. Atmarthe Prithavim Tejet. For the sake of the soul, the entire earth can be sacrificed. That is a niti. Right? For a family, one person can be sacrificed. For a village, one family can be sacrificed. For the entire kingdom, a village can be sacrificed. For the sake of the soul, the entire earth can be sacrificed. Right? So therefore, Vidurji is saying, Tejashu Ashaivam Kula Kaushalaya. For the sake of your Kula, you should give up your son. Right? Basically, Tejet Ekam Kulasya Arthe. That is being advised by Vidurji over herein. Also, Chanakya Pandit has also said, Prabhupada quotes him, according to the moral instruction of Chanakya Pandit, second paragraph. What is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he is just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. Like that. Text 14.
Iti ujivam stattra suyodhanena pravriddha kopasphuritadharena asatkrita satsvrihaniya shila shatta sakarnanuja shobalena.
While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle Shakuni.
Okay. So, this verse describes Iti uchivam stattra suyodhanena. While Vidurji was just speaking to Dhritarashtra for his benefit, speaking the truth, Duryodhana in the company of Karna, his younger brother, then Shakuni heard that. And his lips started trembling in anger. And he insulted Vidurji. Right? So the third line says, asatkrita satsfrani hashila. Two qualities of Vidurji is described. Vidurji was very respectable. Sat and Svrihani Hashila. His qualities were very desirable by everyone. Right? With a very respectable personality and person whose qualities were desirable for everyone. Everyone wanted to emulate his qualities. That kind of person, Asatkrita. Asatkrita means he disrespected. Asatkrita. Duryodhan disrespected such a person, such a respectable and endowed with good qualities. What is the reason? Why did Duryodhan did that? Asatkrita. Next line says, because Sa Karna Anuja Shobalena. He was having asatsang. Right? So, asat Krita because of asatsang. Asatsang leads to asat karma also. So here in this act of the Duryodhana, the main reason being pointed out in this verse is his bad association. His bad behavior is attributed to bad association. Right? Therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, what? Asatsang tyagayai vaishnava achar stri sangi eka sadhu Krishna Bhakta are. One should give up two kind of bad association. Asat Sang Tyag, Ai Vaishnava Char. Stri Sangi Ek Asadhu. First kind of bad association is the association of those who are attached to women. Second is Krishna Bhakta are, those who are non-devotees. Like that. Because bad association will surely lead to bad behavior. Asasang tyag ai vaishnava achar. Someone had to see the verse number. I do not remember the verse number. But you will be able to find out easily. And there is another Hindi phrase I read in one of the temples. Sometimes temple in North India especially, they write many Hindi phrases. Right? Jaisa khaoge an, vaisa banega man. Jaisa karoge sang, vaisa chadega rang. Right? So this is jaisa khaoge an means the way you eat, your heart will become like that. And the way you associate, you will also become the same, have the same character. Yes, like that. Okay. Go to text 15.
Kaena matro vajuhava jihimam. Dasyasutam yadbali naiva pushta. Tasmin pratipa parakritya aste. Nivariyasya tamashu purashusana.
Who asked him to come here, the son of kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath.
Okay, so Duryodhana is using name calling, gali dena, right, directly. So low class people directly start, right, because Vidura's character is actually, he's amalatmana, he is svarnihashila, right. There is no fault in his character. There is no way philosophically he can point out any fault with Vidura. So low class people means, seedha gali shuru karo, right, start with a gali. You can't. Right, name calling, you know. So he just started calling name, Dasi Putra, right? And in this way, in various ways, you know, Duryodhana, the Bhagavatam doesn't give detail, but Mahabharata gives detail at times. The number of verses also described how he is insulting, right? So Vidurji, right? So he's saying he's Dasi Putra, he's very crooked, he's like a spy, you know, he's an enemy spy, and who is being nourished by us, but he's plotting against us, right? Directly he started speaking very harshly to Vidurji, right? And Duryodhana says, actually Duryodhana says, beat him with the canes till only his breath is left, right? Till only his breath is left. One interesting observation Gaurang Prabhu had described was, who is Vidurji? Yamaraj. It is Yamaraj who pronounces such statements. Beat him up. Right? The death kind of, death threats have been given by Yamaraj so many times. Right? Now, he has to hear this death threat, right, from Duryodhana. So, the important point is, Krishna gives one the power, right? By Krishna gives one particular power, and he acts at that power. And by the power given by Krishna, Yamaraj has given such threats to so many people. Now he has to hear same kind of threat, right, from Duryodhana, because Krishna has withdrawn that power of Yamaraj. Like, had Duryodhana given such a power threat, he would have been Yamaraj. Yamaraj would have made him boil, right? In some had made pakodas out of Duryodhana, right? Some fried, right? He could not have given that. But now, Vidurji is not in that position. He has to simply hear those that leave him just with his breath, right? So he's giving a death threat, Duryodhana. So, everyone in this world is given power at a certain point of time for a certain purpose. Therefore, one should know that one should not become proud of any position. Right? So, Vidurji is not proud at all. He is just hearing that threat from Duryodhana. So, one should remain, one should know that all the powers are given by the Supreme Lord and they can be taken away at any point of time. Right? Is a fact? So one should not act as if the powers are one's own. Arjuna also gives that realization. Right? He was having such a power, he could defeat everyone. But then he was defeated by cowherd infidels. Like that. That's the first lesson over here. Secondly, second important lesson is, here if you see what
Vidura served his entire life loyally, Dhritarashtra. Right? What is getting in return? What is the provident fund? What is the retirement plan? Beating with the cane. And what is the provident fund? Just his breath may be left. That is his provident fund. Leave him with the breaths. Right? So what are the benefits he's getting? Benefits are the beating with the cane. And what is the fund he's getting? Leave him with few breaths. That is the retirement benefit and the provident fund after a lifetime of service. So, even a devotee's material life or career can be a total failure. If you see Vidura's material life and career, what is turning out? At the end of all the full service, it is a total failure. His entire material life has been actually turned into a total failure. Right? But as we shall see, this can happen to devotees also. You know, one should not think that a devotee's material life cannot be a failure. Devotee's material life can be a total failure. Therefore, as will Prabhupada point out in the purports, in material life, a devotee always has to have a temperament of renunciation, detachment. Because at any point of time, anyway, material life will be a total failure with the death. Everything will be finished, all one's asset. Right? Sooner or later, material life will be a failure in one sense. Right? Therefore, as far as the material life is concerned, one is to perform all the duties with the temperament of detachment. Right? And we have discussed previously, as far as devotional service is concerned, one is to perform devotional service in a temperament of cooperation. For cooperation. For the material life, one is to perform all duties in a mood of detachment. Devotional service, one should perform all the activities of devotional service in a mood of cooperation. These two things are very important. So Prabhupada will point out how Vidura's, as far as his material career is concerned, it is devastated totally. It is finished. His total material career has been spoiled. Material life has been total failure. Right? But still, because Vidurji always was in the mood of detachment, he remained unaffected. He surrendered to Krishna's will. Right? Actually, just think of a person whose life, material life has been a total failure, right? A person cannot come out of it. His mind will go back and forth, going to the same thing. A person cannot come out of it actually, right? It is very difficult to accept the failure as Krishna's will. Extremely difficult. One will keep thinking, what went wrong? You know, where did I go wrong? Or what is the fault on the other party's side? Right? Or what is the fault of the circumstances? The mind simply cannot accept that it is Krishna's will. Right? Of course, we sometimes have to understand where did I go wrong so that I may not commit a mistake again. But if I have been righteous and still I have been a failure, mind cannot accept. And it goes back to, you see, some small thing happens, mind just keeps hovering around. It cannot accept. Right? Especially if such a devastating incident happens, mind cannot come out of it. You know, there was one congregational preacher, just to give you an example, he was part of a congregation connected to Radha Gopinath Bhakti Samaj. He was going to another place preaching and spent a lot of effort. Later therein, after putting 10 years, 12 years out of effort, he was developing and things were developing. The local congregation went against him and they said, you should not come here. Right? And then, you know, and then somehow, you know, so many intermediation, and that person asked, you don't go there because they don't want you to come for whatever reason. Could not accept for any time, you know, for years, that would not go out of his mind. Anytime, anything, would just talk of that only. You know, what went wrong over there, who plotted against him. Somehow, I also committed some mistake, I was too liberal, or I was not so strict, you know, whatever, you know, so many things, on and on and on. To simply accept that that was Krishna's will, that he wanted to withdraw me, it's very, very difficult. Right? It's because the nature of this world is so that one forms a strong attachments. After a lifetime, we will see how Vidura detaches itself. Accepts it at Krishna's will. Yes. Yes. They will learn from Vidurji only. Right? So, basically, Gaurangpur was making a very beautiful point regarding Krishna's will. Gaurangpur had been speaking a lot about Krishna's will. Krishna consciousness is a process of surrendering to Krishna's will and not understanding Krishna's will. What happens? We think we put all our energy in trying to understand Krishna's will. That why is Krishna doing this to me? What went wrong? What did I do wrong? What the other party did wrong? Where the circumstances went wrong, where the policies went wrong, who didn't supported me, who supported me. Right? So many millions of thoughts in trying to understand Krishna will. The focus has to be in surrendering to Krishna will and not understanding Krishna will. Only when we surrender to Krishna's will, accept it, right? And when we surrender to Krishna will, then will be able to understand Krishna's will to some extent and will be able to understand how to go ahead. First the surrender has to come, then the understanding will come, how to proceed ahead. One thing, I will first understand the entire situation, then I will surrender. No, that's the wrong understanding. First one has to surrender. Yes, this has happened, this is Krishna's will for me. Now let me try to see how I can, what best I can do in this situation, right? And then Krishna gives the understanding how to go ahead in life, right? So the first one is to surrender. One has to accept that this is Lord's will, right? So it's a difficult thing, but one has to accept it. One has to know where to begin, right? And give up all the nonsense of the mind, keep it aside, right? And accept that this is the Lord's will. Acceptance has to come. That surrender to Lord's will has to come. Then further understanding will unfold. And so Vidurji does that. Right? Another thing, another important lesson, right? I said, therefore Sukhdev Goswami said, Shruyatamiti, hear attentively. This episode of Vidurji is filled with very great wisdom. Another important thing in this episode is when one's own friends, relatives, counselees, whom you always desire to do good, whom you wished well, right? Whom you always took out Mahaprasad and give to them, whom you always think, how can I inspire? When they turn against you, when they turn against you, nalam prasaktasya virakti karanam. One should understand that Krishna wants me to become detached. One should know that. And this has happened with so many devotees also. Right? When your own people whom you wanted to always benefit, they start criticizing you, that is the time. Right? So Parikshit Maharaj, his own citizen, the power of the Brahmana was due to Parikshit Maharaj's good governance. When he cursed Parikshit Maharaj, it is the time to withdraw. So when there is bitterness and poisonous situation created by one's intimate people, that time the strong indication from Krishna, please withdraw. Please come out of this. Parikshit Maharaj withdrew. Vidura immediately withdrew from that situation, right? Because Dhritarashtra remained quiet. That means he sided with the words of Duryodhana. By being quiet, that order was like the order of Dhritarashtra itself. So all the time he has been wishing well to the king, giving good advice, etc. But now he has turned against him. Therefore, it's the time to. It's a strong indication from Krishna, right? At that point, one should not continue to fight unnecessarily. One can consult. It's not maybe it won't be a blank rule, but scripture, so many places, it is indicated when such a situation is created, it is the indication of Krishna to withdraw. Right? So that is the. So we, you know, it's. This is very difficult actually, right? To go on with, to expand the service, you know, etc. It's actually, one can go on. But when suddenly Krishna wants you to withdraw, you know, when you are at the height of your career, height of your whatever, you know, that is very difficult, right? So Maharaj Parikshit was the peak of his career, right? He had conquered all the enemy kings. He was the ruler of the, you know, not just has said this tiny earth, but of a much broader tract of land, right? Entire Jambudvipa. He understood that Krishna wants me to withdraw, right? And he withdrew himself. Therefore, he says, Analam prasaktasya virakti karanam. This fiery poison of Takshaka, these fiery words of Brahmana have come to virakti karanam, has come to me to detach. Ultimately, everyone in this world has to detach himself, right? This material world is not meant to be eternally engaged. Material energy is not meant to be eternally engaged, because this material manifestation itself is temporary. Ultimately, everyone has to detach himself. So when such a situation occurs, then one should know it's time to, Krishna is calling back. Become detached from this, right? So this has been experienced by many people, many great devotees, right? And they withdraw. So Vidurji, he withdraws in such a situation. Because the prime minister, he could raise his army separately and get ministers on his side, and there could have been a lot of political conflict, this and that. But he simply, at that point of time, withdrew from the situation, right? Dalam prasaktasya virakti karanam, as Maharaj Parikshit also did. So, Prabhupada says, yes. Yes.
Of detachment is very important. How does one perform like one service, or like responsibility is also there, at the same time detachment is also there, so it's very like a conflicting
okay, yeah. So again, once Gaurang Prabhu was sharing, you're saying that how one has to be attached to the principle of service and detached from the external form of service. Right? So the attachment, so we have to attach to the principle of service, but that service may change. But our service in some form or will continue. Right? So the external form of service one has to be detached from, because at any point of time we may have to withdraw from one service and take up another service. And ultimate service, if you see, what is the ultimate service? What is the ultimate service? Is hearing, chanting and worshipping Krishna. That's the ultimate service. All the other services that we do are to facilitate that one service. Vaishnava service is to serve the Vaishnavas in a way that inspires them to hear, chant and worship Krishna. That facilitates them. So this is the ultimate service. This is the principle of service. Hear, chant and worship Krishna. So one should remain attached to that. Right? and all the other forms of services are ultimately meant to serve this principle of service. Right? So external form will change. So one has to remain detached from external form and stick to the principle of service. That in any situation, I will continue to hear, chant and worship the Supreme Lord. Yeah, so one has to cultivate, as Prabhupada, I'll just read the exact purport, I think it's the next purport where Prabhupada describes the temperament of detachment. Right? One has to always cultivate that from the outer form of service. So here in Prabhupada, first in the purport of text 15, talks about the Dasi Putra. Right? He calls him Dasi Putra and said, yeah, actually, many dasis used to accompany a princess, and they would also get a son by the king, and they would not have a claim to the royal throne, but they would get equal facilities. Prabhupada described that about the dasi putra in the purport. Right? And then Prabhupada says, toward the 8th or 9th last line, that how Duryodhana considered him to be enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He actually kind of ordered, but none of the soldiers did that. He just left immediately. He didn't stay over there. Duryodhana actually wanted, right, that he be caned and left with just his breath. But none of the soldiers would do that, you know. So Vidura ji just left from there. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Prabhupada says, such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhan, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for the good. Right? So he withdrew at that point of time. Text 16. Swayam dhanur dwari nidhaya mayam. Bratu puro marma sutaditopi. Saitamatyul banakarna baner. Gatavyathoyad urumanyana. Ar urumanyana.
Through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme.
Okay, so this is the last verse in this section. That 11 verses describe what happened, why Vidurji left. So we'll just discuss this verse quickly and then we'll take a break. Swayam dhanurdwari nidhaya mayam bhratu puro marma sutaditopi. Sa ittham ati ulban karna banair. Said these words of Duryodhana were ati ulban, very, very severe, sharp arrows which entered through the ears. Marma, it hit his heart. Marmasthan means where it hurts the most. That is Marmasthan. So these words, so the words of, the sharp words of one's close friends, relatives, well-wishers, their sharp words hurts millions of times greater than the sharp arrows of the enemy. Right? So these words entered through the ears and directly hit the heart. Right? Very, very severely. Ati ulban karna banair. Right? So the two adjectives used. Very fierce, right? Ati ulban. Ulban means very fierce. Ati means very fierce. Right? So Ati Ulban Karna Banarit. And it hit him very hard. Right? What does a person do when someone's very harsh words hit a person? What is the usual reaction? Right? Even if you can't speak back at that point of time, a person starts discussing that and start criticizing that what I had to undergo. Right? So a person, he becomes a criticizer of the person who has treated him so. Right? Especially Vidurji has been very a person of integrity, without cheating. He has been served very faithfully, he has served, and he is getting all this reaction. So a person usually may become a blasphemer. Right? Or secondly, he may like to gather sympathy. Right? He may like to discuss it, and so many people say, oh, you know, very bad happened, it should not have happened, Dhruvna should not have done that. Probably, you know. So a person either may start criticizing or start gathering sympathy from others. He wants to hear words of you know, other people speaking in a compassionate way, sympathetic way to my cause. Right? But Vidurji did not do any of that. Right? Gata vyatho yad uru manne mana. Very beautiful. He saw the hand of the Lord in this situation. Seeing the hand means, herein, it means seeing the Lord's energies at work. He saw that the Lord's external energy is working upon Duryodhana. Therefore, he did not criticize or blaspheme Duryodhana. That this is what you are doing to me. Do you recount so many, you know, my loyal service, my lifetime of service, what I had not undergone for you all, right? So he didn't start complaining or retorting back at Duryodhana, nothing. He saw the Lord's external energy is working. Prabhupada describes that in the Prabhupada, I'll read that. This is in the beginning only Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. Prabhupada quotes a Bhagavad Gita verse. And if you go ahead 10-12 lines, then in the middle Prabhupada says, in spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path towards his ruination. Okay, so he saw the external energy of the Lord working. Therefore, he did not complain or found faults with Duryodhana. Right? And he did not try to gather any sympathy for himself. Right? Another person who has been hurt, he always looks for some sympathy. He likes that people discuss about that situation again and again, and, you know, console him in different ways. He didn't do that either, because he saw Lord's internal energy working for him. Right? So first of all, one has to see that if something... Can someone just switch off the fan? First of all, if one does not blame the other party or the circumstances, you know, doesn't play the blame game and only see that this is Lord illusory energy working, right? It is, so many people are being helplessly moved by the Lord's illusory energy, right? So although he spoke the hard word, but he is under the influence of Lord's illusory energy, and therefore he didn't find fault with Duryodhana, which is not easy actually, which is very difficult to practice. When he could do that, he could then see, for me, Lord's internal energy is working. Right? So Prabhupada decided that also. He therefore, again I'm reading where I left from, he therefore considered the act of the internal energy to be supreme. Yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidur was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Right? So, he didn't took any of the two positions. Neither did he become a criticize or blaspheme. He didn't took the blasphemy of Duryodhan. He didn't complain. Understanding external energy is working. Nor did he try to gather sympathy for himself, or he became a victim of pity consciousness. You know, some people become a victim of pity consciousness that, you know, I have been abused, I have been used, you know, so many things, you know, that all that is pity consciousness. He didn't give way to pity consciousness also. He didn't try to gather sympathy for himself. He simply understood that Lord's internal energy is working and which will make me renounce from this situation, which will award me the opportunity for higher realization, right? Which will help me to completely devote myself to Krishna, right? Increase my surrender to the Lord, increase my absorption in Krishna. So he took up that opportunity. He could see these two energies that work simultaneously. Therefore, gata vyatho yad uru manne mana, gata vyatho, he did not feel sorry. He did not feel sorry for himself. That is pity consciousness. Sometimes we may feel sorry for ourselves, you know. I have been mistreated, I worked so hard, but I was not reciprocated properly, etc. So he didn't feel gata vyatho, he didn't feel sorry for himself at all. Because he saw the hands of the Lord or the energies of the Lord working, both external and internal. So Prabhupada says, the word gata vyatha, vyatha means tribulation, gata means to give it up. He didn't mind then. He gave up all the feelings of, you know, he was, although it pierced the arrow, he did not give way to lamentation, to feeling sorry. He just saw the hands of the Lord and went ahead. Right? So Prabhupada says, the word gata vyatha, you can see that in the purport where we read three lines ahead of that. The word gata vyatha is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow, because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before the Duryodhana could act. Okay. Prabhupada says, or Vishwanath Thakur at one place, that how now Vidurji herein, rather of feeling sorry or rather of blaming Duryodhana, when Vidurji could see the internal energy, he felt thankful that now Duryodhana is providing me opportunity to become free from all this politics and diplomacy of the palace life, and I will become totally renounced. Right? So he took a. So when you can see the energy of the Lord at play, Lord intervention, then the whole frame of negativity turned into positivity. So in one sense, he became thankful to Duryodhana that he is now allowing me, he is freeing me from all the palace and diplomacy. Very beautiful his eyes. Vidura was relieved from the tribulation. Through this incident, all the tribulation of palace life, he was relieved. Therefore, he became, on the other hand, instead of complaining, he became thankful to Duryodhana for giving him opportunity to surrender, to hear and chant and worship Krishna fully. Right? And he gave up his bow. This is also very important. Swayam dhanurdhari nidhaya mayam. He gave up his bow to two important things. He gave away his bow, he was defending. Giving away his bow means now Dhritarashtra is going to be ruined. Second, he gave up all his upadhis along with that bow. Right? So for the sake of service, we may have to accept some upadhis. But when Krishna indicates it's time to renounce, one should give up one's upadhis. Right? Which may be required at one point of time. But now Krishna is indicating to give up that upadhis and surrender fully. So therefore the two important significance of giving up the bow. Swayam dhanur dwari nidhaya mayam. So in this way these verses and these acts of Vidura are filled with very important lessons. Right. Okay, so we'll take a break and continue, and the other chapters we'll be able to do fast because there is inquiry, so we can go through that quickly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so text 17. Remember these questions by Vidura, text chapter 1, these are questions not to Maitreya but to Uddhavji. These are different questions. These are not the questions which are referred to in the text 1. That question will begin after the four chapters. Right, as I said. So this is questions to Uddhavji. Sorry? These questions by Vidura, this chapter is entitled Questions by Vidura. Not to Maitreya but to Uddhavji. Text 17.
Sa nirgata kaurava punya labdho gajavayat tirtha padapadani anvakramat punya chakirshayurvyam adhishtito yani sahasramurtihi.
By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantages of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapur, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimages, which are the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a higher order of pious life, he travelled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of lords are situated.
Okay, so Prabhupada describes Sa Nirgata Kaurava Punya Labdho. Vidura was pious, therefore Prabhupada says he took birth in Kaurava family. But in order to gain higher piety means transcendental piety. There is a piety within the three modes, there is a piety beyond the three modes, which is transcendental piety. The activities of devotional service are known as Punya Shravana Kirtana, right? Punya Shravana Kirtana, first canto, verse. That punya is transcendental piety beyond the mood. So therefore to gain that piety, Vidura left the palace. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, this is around 10th line, Vidura could have at once approached Krishna directly. Him, Lord Krishna, Prabhupada says, I'm reading little the line before that. At that time, Lord Krishna was personally present in the world, and Vidura could have at once approached him directly, but he did not do so because he was not sufficiently freed from sin. Because he felt, basically, Vidura considered himself not sufficiently free from sin. He didn't consider himself pure enough to approach Krishna directly. Therefore, he decided to go to the holy places of pilgrimage, associate with devotees, hear and chant about Krishna, to gain the required piety, required purity to approach Krishna. Right? So it's a very important point. As practicing devotees, we should not consider ourselves advanced that we can advanced enough to transcend the basic activities of purification. Right? We should not consider that I am not advanced enough not to perform my basic sadhana, the activities of sadhana, service of the Vaishnavas, the basic austerities given in the scriptures, etc. Right? So a devotee, even though advanced, he always feels that the need of purification, that's the important point. A devotee always strongly feels that I need to be purified. I am not sufficiently purified. Therefore, Krishna also says, Yajna dana tapa karma na tyajyam karma eva cha. Yajna dana tapasyaiva pavanani manishina. Right? So in this case, yajna, chanting of the holy name, our 16 rounds, right? Dan, offering our service, doing hamarmilya service, tapas, the basic austerity that we perform. It is always purifying. One should not give up these basic practices. Therefore, Vidura, although very advanced, felt the need of purification. And therefore, he didn't approach Krishna directly, but preferred to associate with devotees, holy people in holy place to hear the holy katha of the Lord, so that he may be purified further. And then Prabhupada describes in text 17, paragraph 3rd, the places of pilgrimage are meant for eradicating the sins of the pilgrims, and they are distributed all over the universe just to give facility to all concerned for attaining pure existence and God realization. Right? These places help to purify a person. And then Prabhupada describes how that in these holy places there are the presence of the Lord in the form of archamurtis. And very beautiful statement in the next paragraph where Prabhupada talks of archamurtis. In the fourth line, to the degree that we have entered into the service of the Lord, or to the proportion to which our lives are freed from sin, we can perceive the Lord. So these archa vigras, we can realize the presence of the Lord in the holy places in proportion to the service. Right? Prabhupada at the time of deity installation, at number of places, he would point that out. That to the degree you will dedicate yourself to serve the deity, to that degree you will realize that how the deity is Krishna himself. Right? So that's the point Prabhupada makes over here. And then Prabhupada in the same paragraph, Prabhupada says, no one therefore should foolishly think the archa in the temple to be idle. Right? Such an archa murti is not idle but the Lord himself. And to the proportion to which one is free from sins, he is able to know the significance of archa murti. Right? Here free from sin means also gathering transcendental pieties. To that degree one engages in hearing, chanting, worshipping, serving the Lord. To that degree one will realize archa to be Krishna himself. The guidance of pure devotee is therefore always required. Right? So therefore one should serve the Lord archa murti under the guidance of Krishna's pure devotee. And Prabhupada, the next paragraph describes how at various places, various archa vigrahas of the Lord are situated. Right? These are verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada quotes the translation in this paragraph. Guru text 18. Pureshu punyo bhavanadri kunjashu. Apankato yeshu sarit sarhashu. हे सरसु अनंत लिंगे समिलंकृतेषु यचार तीर्थायतनेषु नन्या.
He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna, through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwarka and Mathura. He traveled where the air, hill, orchard, river and lake are all pure and sinless, and where the form of unlimited decorate the temples. Thus he performed the pilgrimage progress.
Okay, so various holy places are situated on the bank of holy rivers, lakes, mountains, seas. Right? So the devotees don't even miss tourism. Going to holy places, right? And Prabhupada talks about Anantalinga, Samilankriteshu. Anantalinga means the unlimited Lord expands himself in unlimited forms, who all have unlimited potencies. Right? That is the meaning of Anantalinga. The unlimited Lord expands himself in unlimited forms, all having unlimited potency. That Prabhupada describes in the purport. And Prabhupada gives the analogy of the small post box and the postal system. They have the same potency. Text 19. Gam paryatan medya vivikta vritti sada pluto dhashayano vaduta alakshita swaira vaduta vesho vratani chere haritoshanani.
While so traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places. Although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing nor a bed on which to lie, thus he was always unseen by his various relatives.
So, while on his pilgrimage, Adhashayano, second line, he would sleep on the ground. Avadhut didn't comb his hair, Avadhut Vesha didn't dress properly. Because of that, no one could recognize that he is Vidura, because of that Vesh. Right? Because Vidura is Prime Minister, you know, Prime Minister is no hair dress, sleeping, no proper clothes, you know, etc. So therefore, he remained unnoticed, and that also to his advantage. Right? That became advantage on the pilgrimage. Vratani chere, so although he was Avadhut in his eating, sleeping, dressing, etc., but not Avadhut in his vows. He was very strict in his vows. Avadhut means careless, kind of here, the meaning of the Avadhut. Careless about his eating, sleeping, dressing, everything, but not careless in his vows. In his vows, he was very strict. That is, Vratani chere haritoshanani. Very strictly absorbed the vows to please Supreme Lord Hari while on the pilgrimage. Right? Text 20. Ittham rajan bharatam eva varsham kale nayavad gatavan prabhasam tavasya shasha kshidimeka chakram ekat patram ajitena parthah.
Thus, when he was in the land of Bharatvarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasya Kshetra. At that time, Maharajasthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag.
And Prabhupada glorified here in the rule of Maharajasthira, who had the whole world was under one flag. Prabhupada saying, now thousands of flags are flapping in United Nations. So Prabhupada contrast with Ekat Patram to Sahasra Patram in the United Nations. And they say, Prabhupada said, this Ekat Patram, one flag, is only possible when we surrender, take favor of the one Supreme Lord, Krishna. And Prabhupada points out. He is at Prabhashetra. At the time, he understood that Maharaj Yudhishthira had become the emperor. He got the news at Prabhashetra, yes. Maharaj Yudhishthira was, he had become the emperor at that point of time. 21. Tatratha shushrava suhridvinashtim vanam yathavenu javahani samshrayam samspardhaya dagdam athanushochan sarasvatim pratyagiyayatushnim.
At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhasya, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion, just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows.
Okay, so here we Vidura heard that how all his relatives, the Kauravas, they have died, and even the Yadavas, they have also killed each other in fratricidal war. At Prabhas Kshetra, he heard the news. An example is given of Vanam Yatha Venuja Vahani Samsharayam. Venuja Vahani, the fire which is produced by the bamboos when they strike against each other. Right? So here the false ego is compared to the stiff bamboos. Right? They collide with each other, they produce the fire and which destroy the whole forest. Right? Mahaprabhu has said that devotee should be like blade of grass, right? When the blade of grass collide with each other in the air, it just bends, right? There is no collision, there is no fire, right? But the false ego is compared to the stiff bamboos. They collide and cause fire which destroys the community. But herein, of course, herein they all died each other due to violent passion here mentioned. But it has a transcendental perspective. It was by the will of the Lord. This war took place by the direct will of the Lord. But for us, the external lesson is the clashing of false ego may destroy the community. Right? Therefore, devotees should always cultivate humility, which is like that of blade of grass. Okay, so now his pilgrimage, the various places which he visited. Yes, yes, they clashed with each other and the whole Yadu dynasty, they destroyed each other. No, Yadus didn't clash. The Kauravas and the Pandavas, even the Kauravas and Pandavas are also one family in one sense. But here in the, this is for the Yadus, this analogy. Well, Kauravas and Pandavas also the fight between the same dynasty. They Pandavas are known as Kurus only, na? So there was a fight, inside fight, and they all the Kauravas were vanquished, right? Except the Pandavas and few other remaining. Text 22. We'll read the translations now. Right? Yeah, that was my plan also. Yeah, because it's just now the visiting places and then asking questions, you know.
Translation. On the bank of the river Saraswati, there were 11 places of pilgrimage, namely Tirtha, Ushna, Manu, Prithu, Agni, Asita, Vayu, Sudasa, Go, Guha, and Shraddha Deva. Vidura visited all of them and duly performed rituals.
Go ahead, read the translations.
There were also many other temples of various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, established by great sages and demigods. These temples were marked with the chief emblems of the Lord, and they remained one always of the original personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna.
Okay, so it's mentioned that so many temples are there at the holy places. Yad darshanat Krishnam anusmaranti. This is an important line. When one goes to holy places, the most important thing is it facilitates one's remembrance of Krishna. Right? So one devotee living in Vrindavan for 15 years, I was just talking to him once and I was saying that Vrindavan, lot of, you know, politics, diplomacy and so many things in Vrindavan. You know, mafia, Vrindavan is very, mafia is very strong in Vrindavan, more than any other place, you know. So he said, yeah, all that is there, one has to deal with, but remembrance of Krishna comes very naturally in Vrindavan. Right? One cannot, it becomes very easy to remember Krishna in Vrindavan. So that is Yad Darshanat Krishna Anusmaranti. Prabhupada also points out. Right? And another point Prabhupada makes in the purport is there is a chakra on the top of temple. And Prabhupada says the temple dome is built very high so that from a distance one sees and remembers Krishna. And by seeing the chakra is a representation of Lord potency, Lord power. One is reminded of Krishna. Right? So in the dham, one is reminded of Krishna. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, Mandire ra chakra dekhi kariha pranam, You just from here, from your house, you don't have to go anywhere. You see the chakra of the Lord, even till today, from Haridas Thakur, Siddhu Bakul, the chakra is visible, you know. You have to find a right place to see the chakra. Now so many buildings are there. Even at least 4 or 5 years back, we were there and we saw the chakra from Haridas Thakur's place. From the terrace, you go to the terrace on one corner, climb a small wall little bit, and then you can see the chakra. Haridas Thakur could see very easily at that point of time. Now buildings and all that. But Mahaprabhu told him, just see the chakra and remember. And seeing the chakra will be non-different from seeing Lord Jagannath, because the chakra will remind you of Lord Jagannath. And therefore Prabhupada says, there are many devotees who are still lingering around in the holy places, searching from Krishna. They may not have seen Krishna, but their searching from Krishna is the same as seeing Krishna on absolute plane. So that's a very beautiful line Prabhupada says. Right? Is in this purport or the next purport? Yeah, it's the next purport. Next purport. Read the translation. I'll read.
Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sauvira, and Matsya, and through western India known as Kuru Jangla. At last, he reached the bank of the Yamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Shri Krishna.
Okay, so Prabhupada says, in the 7th, 8th line of the purport, there are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy, this is Vrindavan, in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee is eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained. But it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment. Right? So Prabhupada is saying that there are many aspects of Krishna consciousness which cannot be explained or which cannot be even understood. Even though explained, it cannot be understood. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, although I am writing, it cannot be explained properly. Although you are reading, you cannot understand it. Only when Lord will bestow His mercy, you will experience it. So certain things in bhakti cannot be explained or understood. They are to be experienced. Right? So philosophically one can make sometimes some sense, but experience is something which comes by the mercy of the Lord that will make perfect sense. Right? So that also Prabhupada says in the purport. How this is so cannot be explained.
Next.
Yes.
Then due to his great love and feeling, Vidura embraced him, Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati. Vidura then asked him for the news of the family of Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead.
Okay, so again now Vidura is meeting Uddhava. Alingya gadham pranayen bhadram swanam prichat bhagavat prajanam. So very firmly he embraced Uddhavji. Uddhavji actually touched his feet of Vidurji, and Vidurji embraced him, and he started inquiring, right? Swanam aprichad, right? Of the news of his. First he inquired about the Yadavas, then he inquired about the Kauravas, right? Bhagavat Prajanam. Important point here pointed by Prabhupada is, said Vidurji already knew that they all have left. He had already received the news at Prabha Kshetra. Therefore, Prabhupada says in the fourth or fifth last line, Vidur asked Uddhava about the welfare of his relatives, although he already knew that they were no longer in the world. This inquiry appears to be very queer. Queer means odd, not normal. But Srila Jiva Goswami states that the news was shocking to Vidura, who therefore inquired again due to great curiosity. Thus his inquiry was psychological and not practical. So this inquiry is out of emotion. Right? Someone you already know, but you still ask, you know, What happened? You know what has happened. He left. What happened to him? You know already, but you still, you want to discuss that because you are emotionally attached, right? Therefore, it's a psychological or a emotional inquiries. All these inquiries, they are not practical inquiries. So one has to understand the mood of these inquiries, right? Okay.
Please tell me whether the original personalities of Godhead who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born out of the lotus flower from the Lord, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the houses of Sursena.
Right. So first he inquires about Krishna and Balaram. And Prabhupada says, without the grace of the Lord, in the fourth last line, no one can become happy and prosperous. Because the happiness of the family of the Lord's devotees depend on the happiness of the Lord, Vidura first of all inquired about the well-being of the Lord. Right? The happiness of the Lord's devotees depends upon the happiness of the Lord. Therefore, to begin with, he inquired about happiness of Krishna and Balaram. 27.
Please tell me whether the best friend of Kurus, our brother-in-law, Vasudev, is doing well. He is very munificent. He is like a father to his sisters and he is always pleasing to his wives.
Okay, so inquiry about Vasudev. And Vasudev is specifically mentioned that Pritha was his younger sister and an elder brother has to take care of his younger sister like a father takes care of a daughter. Right? Especially Pritha became widow. So Vasudeva was always very affectionate like a father. That Vidurji is glorifying. And he also simultaneously pleased his wives. Go ahead.
O Uddhava, please tell me, how is Pradyumna, the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, who was Cupid in a former life? Rukmini bore him as her son from the Lord Krishna by the grace of Brahmanas whom she pleased.
Right. So the first son of the Krishna, who is the commander-in-chief, about him he is inquiring. By the blessings of Brahmana, Rukmini had gotten Pradyumna as her son. Yes.
O my friend, tell me whether Ugrasena, the king of the Satvatas, Vrishnis, Bhojas and Dashrahas, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne, but Lord Krishna again installed him.
Go ahead.
O gentleman, does Sama far well? He exactly resembles the son of personality of Godhead. In a previous birth, he was born as Kartike in the womb of wife of Lord Shiva. And now he has been born in the womb of Jambavati, the most enriched wife of Krishna.
Okay, so just one important thing Vishwanatha Thakur points out. Many of the Lord's associate, eternal associate, appear with the name of some powerful demigod. Right? Here it says Samba was like a Kartikeya, Pradyumna was like a Cupid. Right? Even similarly, Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya were Drona and Dhara. Right? Vasudev and so no one, they performed austerities. No one can, by performing austerity, become, you know, eternal associates. Like we say, they're eternal associates. Nand Maharaj and Yashoda. No one can attain their position by performing austerities. Right? So what happens? Whenever the eternal associates of the Lord appear, these demigod portion come and merge. And just because most of the people are aware of these powerful demigods, so they, Vishnu Thakur says, these devotees sometime appear with the reputation of Lord's vibhutis. Right? His vibhutis are more well known. Kartikeya, Smara, right, etc. But it is the Lord associates who appear and these demigod portion come and merge. Right? So Pradyumna is eternal associate from the Adi Chaturvyuha. But this text mentioned that he was Smara in his previous birth or a Cupid. But no, actually Cupid was a demigod. Right? He came and merged with the eternal associate of the Lord. So that should be understood for all the associates. Right? Go ahead.
31 question.
31.
Okay.
Your question? Okay, regarding this point? Okay.
So after performing their pastimes, when they will be going back to their abodes, so is it that the two portions will again...
Yes, separate. It's mentioned actually, even when the Yadavas, they came to Prabhashetra and the fratricidal war took place here, the eternal Yadus remained in Dwarka only, and they remain unmanifest to public vision. It was the demigod portion who came and fought and had a fratricidal war, which is what obvious to public vision. Right. Go ahead.
O Uddhava, does Yudhana far well? He is learned that intricacies of the military art from Arjuna. He learned the intricacies of military art from Arjuna and attained the transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers.
Okay, go ahead.
Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Swafalka, is doing well. He is a faultless soul surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna.
Okay, so if you see Vidurji's inquiries, Vidurji was very closely connected with the Yadavas. And he learned that they all fought, they drank liquor, fought with each other, and killed each other. It was a very unceremonious leaving, right, this planet. But Vidurji, he understands that this was the will of the Lord. You know, any person, like if you hear such a the eternal associate of the Lord, you know, some very advanced devotee has undergone some mishap, we always, you know, what happened, you know, where did the liquor come from, Dwarka, you know, how did they drank, you know, even the neophytes follow four regulative principles, how did the Yadavas drank liquor, who drank the liquor first, who picked up the stick first, who fought with whom, who started the battle, you know, so many, what this is all what we will discuss, you know. So first of all, one should know that actually those who are advanced devotees, even if they meet some unfortunate incident, it is the Lord's correction or the Lord's will. One should not indulge in internet gossip. Right? So Vidurji, although knowing that they drank liquor and fought and left, is fondly remembering them all and not going into the internet gossip of finding out who committed what mistake. Right? So basically what happened is, we try to find out where the mistake happened, who did what, who did the first wrong act, etc. Why? Because in trying to see the faults, we get the feeling that we are superior. We get that latent feeling. Latent means the hidden feeling. When we see, oh, he became at fault, within the heart, there is a feeling, oh, I am superior, I didn't commit that fault. So it's the nature that if some advanced devotee, you know, has undergone a problem, to try to find out all the details of that problem. Right? But actually, we do not make any advancement by doing that. Rather, one should see how gloriously that devotee acted and how Krishna will surely, you know, by his will, Krishna will bring him to the right path, or Krishna is acting. It's a Krishna will that is acting. Right? We know that sometimes very advanced devotees undergo trouble and we go into finding and intricacies of the detail and making a comment and, you know, all that. By that, what does happen? We bloat our own false ego. That doesn't help us going into the detail of the problem of advanced devotees, which is directly the interference of Krishna, doesn't help us. We should still have the appreciation of that great soul service. Just see how he is appreciating each devotee. How is he asking, how is Akrura, once he fainted seeing the Krishna's lotus feet, and that will come in 10th canto. Right? He was a faultless, right? He's not finding any fault. Very nicely he's remembering, very fondly he's remembering, not going into the sick mentality, you know, of who did what and all that, all those things, which degrade the person consciousness and not elevate a person consciousness. Of course, those who may have a service, you know, some particular service of cautioning that a mistake should not be committed, may in principally discuss briefly, right? But going into the detail of the problem of a situation on which we, of which now we have no control, which is irreversible, right? Something which is irreversible, something which we can't do anything about, going into the detail of it, unnecessary detail of it, degrades our consciousness and doesn't elevate our consciousness. Therefore, all those details are not here, if you see. Details that are given are remembrance of the service of the Yadavas. So it's very important, you know, because we land up into all sort of rubbish details, right? And filled our mind and intellect with all garbage and degrades our consciousness. Right? Yes, you want to ask something? At the end of the class, you can ask. Okay.
As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoj conceived the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she, Devaki, doing well?
Right. So Prabhupada says, Devaki is last line of the purport. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas. What does it mean, the meaningful Veda? The bhakti portion of the Veda. Devaki is compared to the meaningful Vedas and the Lord to their purpose personified. The goal of the Vedas. Right? So Lord is the goal and Devaki is the meaningful Vedas, bhakti. 34.
May I inquire whether Aniruddha is doing well? He is the fulfiller of all the desires of the pure devotees and has been considered from yore to be the cause of Rig Veda, the creator of the mind and the fourth plenary expansion of Vishnu.
So he inquires about the well-being of Aniruddha. Right? So Aniruddha ji, he is the also considered as the cause of the Rig Veda. He is the creator of the mind. He is also from whom the sun is. The sun god is considered to be one with expansion, and the mind and the sun are also related, right? The sun is what enlivens the mind. When the sun doesn't appear for a long time, it causes depression, in the term known as winter depression, right? 4 or 5 months sometimes the sun is not visible in winters, in the some places, there the mind undergoes depression, known as winter depression. So all this Aniruddha related to Aniruddha, right? So therefore, is Aniruddha doing well? He's asking. Go ahead.
O sober one, others such as Hridika, Charudrishena, Gada, and Anna, son of Satyabhama, who accept the Lord Shri Krishna as the soul of the self and thus follow his path without deviation, are they well?
Right. So other associates of the Lord has been described as Apiswid Anne Cha Niyatma Devam Ananya Vrityas Samanu Vrataye. Right? These associates of the Lord who accepted Krishna as Nijatma Devam, as the Lord of their heart. Right? So people sometimes in this world says, follow your heart. Follow the Lord of your heart. That is what this verse says. You know, because the heart, follow the Lord of the heart. First realize him. What does he desire is to do? Right? Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrataye, Nijatma Devam, follow the footsteps, follow the dictation of the Lord of the heart. Okay. So all these associates who followed the Lord of their heart always, how are they doing well? Right? So that is being asked by Vidurji. Go ahead.
Also, let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhishthira is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhana was burning with envy because Yudhishthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna as if they were his own arms.
Okay, so now I have inquired about the Yadavas. He inquired about the Pandavas in the 6 verses from herein.
Please tell me whether the unconquerable Bhima, who is like a cobra, has released his long cherished anger upon the sinners. The field of battle could not tolerate even the wonderful playing of his club when he stepped on the path.
Right? So Prabhupada says, when a cobra releases its venom after a long cherished anger, its victim cannot survive. Right? The last line. Go ahead.
Please tell me whether Arjuna, whose bow bears the name Gandiva, and who is always famous amongst the chariot warriors for vanquishing his enemies, is doing well. He once satisfied Lord Shiva by covering him with arrows when Shiva came as an unidentified false hunter.
Yes.
Read
next line.
Are the twin brothers who are protected by their brothers doing well? Just as the eye is always protected by the eyelids, they are protected by the son of Pritha, who snatched back their rightful kingdom from the hands of their enemy Duryodhana, just as Garuda snatched nectar from the mouth of Indra, the thunderbolt carrier.
Okay, so it's compared to the Pandavas snatching or claiming their rightful kingdom is compared to Garuda snatching nectar from demigod. There is a story in one of the Puranas how there were many firewalls. You know, the nectar was very highly protected. And Garuda just broke all that insignificant. And when Indra finally used a thunderbolt, Garuda, out of respect for thunderbolt, shed one feather. Right? So that the thunderbolt be respected, you know, that it didn't came. So Garuda was very powerful. There's a big story actually of Garuda breaking all various firewalls or obstacles like that. So Prabhupada says in the first paragraph, last two, three lines, both Garuda and the Parthas are pet devotees of the Lord. And thus it was possible for them to face such strong enemies. Yes, go ahead.
Oh my Lord, is Pritha still living? She lived only for the sake of her fatherless children. Otherwise, it was impossible for her to live without King Pandu, who was the greatest commander and who alone conquered the four directions simply by the help of a second bow.
Right. So it mentioned that how Pandu alone, Ekavira, conquered the four directions with the assistance of his bow, which is like a second person assisting him, it's mentioned. Right? Dutiya, the second was his bow.
Oh gentlemen, I simply lament for he, Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am his sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons.
Okay, so Prabhupada says now, he doesn't say how is Dhritarashtra doing. He says, I lament for him. So Prabhupada says, Vidura did not ask about the welfare of his elder brother because there was no chance of his well-being. Only news of his gliding down to hell. So he's just lamenting. He knew that she's heading toward ruination for sure. Right?
I'm not astonished at this, having traveled over the world without being seen by others. The activities of personality of Godhead, which are like those of a man in the world, mortal world, are bewildering to others. But I know of his greatness, of his grace, and thus I am happy in all respects.
Okay, so now in the last four verses, Vidurji speaks about the philosophical truth about Krishna's birth and activities. So ham harer martya vidambanena disho nirnam chalyato vidhatu. This martya vidambanena, he says, he performing this pastime as a human being are actually very, very bewildering to the common man. Right? But by his grace, I can understand his pastime and activities. Therefore, I am happy in all respects. Right? He can understand how the Lord works through his external and internal energy. He can say the play of both energies, how the Lord was facilitating his Krishna consciousness through internal energy, and while he didn't find fault with those who were under external energy. And thus, he remained happy. Right. So therefore, by seeing the Lord's hand or his energy at work, or by always seeing, because Lord's energy is always at work, right? By having this vision or the vijra, one will not be bewildered and one will remain firmly situated in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says, uh, he was not at all sorry. This is probably 10th line of the purport. He was not at all sorry to be bereft of his hearth and home, because he now had experienced that dependence on the mercy of the Lord is a greater freedom than so-called freedom at home. A person should not be in the renounced order of life unless he is firmly convinced of being protected by the Lord. This stage of life is called in Bhagavad Gita as Abhayam Sattvasham Suddhi. You go ahead 3-4 lines. The result of such purification is exhibited in fearlessness. A devotee of the Lord who is called Narayan Para is never afraid of anything, because he is always aware of the fact that the Lord protects him in all circumstances. Narayana para sarve na kutaschan bhibhyati. There is a 6:17:28 verse Prabhupada is quoting over here in the purport. Okay, read 43rd translation.
Despite his being the Lord and being always willing to relieve the distress of sufferers, he, Krishna, refrained from killing the Kurus, although they committed all sorts of sins, and although he saw other kings constantly agitating the earth by their strong military movements carried out under the dictation of three kinds of false pride.
Okay, so this another Vidurji is saying, although the Lord is always willing to relieve the distress of those who are suffering, especially his devotees, right? Prapannarthi Jahirshayesho, he did not kill the Kurus, although they were considered committing so many offenses. So Prabhupada says, although they were doing so many injustices and even insulted Draupadi, the question may be raised, right? This is the 6th line of the purport. Why did he tolerate such injustices and insults in his presence? Right? Why the Lord tolerated so many injustices towards Pandavas? Why did he not chastise the Kurus immediately? Right? And then Prabhupada says, go ahead 4 lines. This silence of the Lord did not mean, however, that he excused the offenses of the Kurus. Go ahead 3 lines. The Lord was just waiting to get them together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and kill them all at one time, just to make a shortcut in his killing mission. Right? So the Lord has his own timing. One has to wait. Right? As I said, no one can understand why Krishna is waiting for so long, why Krishna is not doing anything to protect the devotees. Right? So no one can understand. Nahi asya karhi chitrajan puman ved viditsitam. Right? Pandavas always surrendered to the Lord's will, and the Lord's will always reveals that he is supremely affectionate toward his devotees. He always protects his devotees. But Krishna has his own timing. Right? His own timing to act. Secondly, why didn't, another reason Prabhupada points, why didn't he immediately kill the aggressors? He wanted to make Arjuna as the hero. Right? He wanted to bring them all together and make Arjuna as the hero of the battlefield. That Prabhupada also points out in the purport. Go ahead.
The appearance of Lord is manifested for the annihilation of upstarts. His activities are transcendental and are enacted for the understanding of all persons. Otherwise, since the Lord is transcendental to all material modes, what purpose could he serve by coming to earth?
Okay, so again, the purpose of the Lord appearance activities, as also described in Bhagavad Gita, is being described over here. Yes.
O my friend, please therefore chant the glories of Lord, who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. He is unborn, and yet he appears by his causeless mercy upon the surrendered rulers of the part of all part of the universe. Only for their interest did he appear in the family of his unalloyed devotees, the Yadus.
Okay, so after placing emotional inquiries, what does he finally says? Let us chant the glories of the Supreme Lord. Right? So he is remembering, his inquiries are actually his emotional remembrance of his associates of the Lord. Right? So accepting the will of the Lord, right, of whatever has happened, to say, right, if you see, Viduraji has gone to undergone two major calamities. First of all, he has been personally insulted, his whole career has been a total failure. Right? Secondly, all his close associates have left the planet. Right? Can you imagine, even if one close person left, you know, leaves, actually, you know, it's so affecting the heart. All the Kauravas, all the Yadavas practically have left. You know, you can't imagine. Once Gaurang Puru was sharing how when 8 devotees left our congregation in a flight crash, right? We had 8 nice devotees who were all connected to the service, DT dress department, and they all, 8 of them together left in one flight crash. And on that flight, no one else died. All others have survived the flight crash. There were just 8 people only died in that flight crash. It was happened in Nepal, at Muktinath, near Muktinath. A flight crash, small flight, 15, 16 people, 8 only the devotees died. All the other non-devotees survived. Right? So it became very difficult. Everyone is talking, what happened? You know, it was heart-paining actually. It was here in Vidurji, the whole congregation of devotees have left. Can you imagine? Right? How much painful actually, you know, how much painful it would be for Vidurji. But still, Vidurji accepts the will of the Lord, surrenders to Him, and that surrender to the will means continue to glorify, chant, and worship the Supreme Lord. Right? So therefore, here in after replacing the inquiries, he says, let's Vartam sakhe kirtaya tirtha kirte. Let us, so Prabhupada also talks about the word tirtha kirte, whose glories are chanted in the places of pilgrimage. Right? Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, the purpose of pilgrimages is to remember the Lord constantly, and therefore the Lord is known as tirtha kirti. The beauty of such a pilgrimage site, this is, if you go ahead 5-6 lines, the same paragraph. The beauty of such a pilgrimage site is that automatically one remembers the holy glories of the Lord. Last 4 lines. Anytime or anywhere pure devotees meet and chant the glories of the Lord is present without any doubt. It is said by the Lord Himself that He always stays where His pure devotees chant His glories. And Vrindavan is most tangibly realized in a place where His pure devotees chant His glories. Naham tishthami vaikunthe yogi naam rida yeshua tatra tishthami narada yad gayanti madbhakta. Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vidurji ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you, Hare Krishna.